in your Bible, please, 1 John chapter 2. We take a parenthetical break this morning from our study of the book of Philippians. The reason for that is, we in just a few moments, at least to me it seems like that, to you it may seem a lot longer, we will be fellowshipping around the Lord's table. Our attention then this morning is on one word I shared with you last week, because we saw that word in the Scriptures as we were doing our exegesis of Philippians and came to 1 John. Very familiar verse. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. That's an admonition. We've been looking in Philippians of what it means to have a walk that is worthy of Him. A conduct in keeping with the character that He has made of us in Christ Jesus. We are new creations. You put off the old, you put on the new. And we live in dependency under the control of the Spirit of God to His eternal praise. We're His children. We're not to be sinning. And if any man sin, the perfection that we have in Christ Jesus is yet to be fully realized when we are glorified. A new body like unto His. A new behavior fully conformed to His image. But until then, I don't know about you, an occasional stumble takes place. Even sometimes, a willful rebellion. But God is propitious. God has provided for us graciously, mercifully, perfect, satisfying provision for personal access into His presence. Sinners. Saved by the grace of God. If any man sin, we have a paraclete, an advocate. It's what the Holy Spirit is called. A one called alongside and one who goes between. Christ comes in, and He is the advocate, the go-between, a holy, righteous, just God, and we sinners. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And He is the propitiation. That's our word this morning. The propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. The mercy seat. In the Hebrew, kaporeth, from the Hebrew word kafar. To cover. In the New Testament, hilasterion. Not simply a covering, but a cleansing. In the Old Testament, the mercy seat was a passing provision of access into the presence of a holy, righteous, and just God. But it had its limitations, and it was passing. Hilasteria, the mercy seat. The place of cleansing. Not just a covering, but a cleansing and carrying away of that which keeps us from access and a relationship throughout eternity with the true and the living God. But He is propitious, graciously, mercifully. He has provided a perfect, satisfying provision. Nothing is between, as we sang already this morning. The blood has gone before, and now nothing keeps us from a relationship with Him. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the bloodshed began, you'll remember, when Adam made a willful choice. His wife had been deceived to partake of that which God had said, do not partake. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is forbidden. For the reason is that if you partake, you're going to die. The relationship that I have with you is no longer going to be there. She took, gave, he took. But the burden of that rebellion is on Adam and the descendants of Adam. And in that condition, all mankind lost. But gracious God, merciful God, He comes to those who have rebelled against Him, and they're hiding. And they've provided a covering because now the relationship that they had with Him they know has changed, and with one another, and they cover themselves up. Not adequate. God mercifully, graciously sacrifices an animal and takes the skins thereof and provides a covering so that now there is a presentable, an access to Him and to one another. And then down through the ages He has provided the shedding of blood, the shedding of blood of substitutes, sacrifices, given in behalf of those who bring the sacrifice. Abraham, in the place of Isaac, God makes a provision. A ram sacrificed in behalf of Isaac. Moses, the law, with a system of sacrifices, the Levitical system, for the purpose of providing access into His presence. And those sacrifices were the shedding of blood. That blood, as it was in Adam's case, Abraham's case, Moses' case, in the people of Israel's case, was blood not only sacrificed was not only the sacrifice of a substitute, it was a substitutionary sacrifice of covering. There was a provision into His presence. But it was passing. It was limited. Come with me to Exodus. Chapter 25. The blood has to be applied. And in Exodus chapter 25, we have the way in which God provided for access into His presence through the shedding of blood applied to those that were in need at this point in time of covering to be presentable. Exodus 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, we're going to jump down to verse 8. And let them make me a sacred place that I may dwell among them, a place of God's personal presence with them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, that was a tent. The word tabernacle references a temporary abiding place, a tent. The pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. A provision now of a place where God will meet with them, where they will have accessibility to Him. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, 1 cubit and a half the breadth. Look at verse 21. And thou shalt put the kaporeth, the mercy seat, above the ark. And in the ark, thou shalt put the testimony, 10 commandments. This access into God's presence is a provision He has made with condition. This is the requirement that I have of you. I am a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. But I am providing opportunity that you have access with me and that I commune and fellowship and talk with you. But it will be conditioned upon the law. And there I will meet with you, verse 22. And I will commune, talk with you from above the mercy seat. And between the two cherubs which are upon the ark of the covenant, the 10 commandments. These which God has given as a revelation of who He is. I am holy. I am righteous. I am just. You're not. But I've provided a provision. The requirements for access concern what I've provided in the law. Not only the 10 commandments now, but there they were in the ark, but all that will come and proceed out from those commandments as far as the conditions of being able to fellowship, to be in His presence, and to hear His voice, the law of Moses. And within that law, a system of sacrifices. I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. A conditional communion. A conditional fellowship. Come on over to chapter 33 of Exodus. Verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people." God has chosen Moses to be the instrument of deliverance from the slavery that they were experiencing in Egypt. "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know who thou wilt send with me." I can't handle this alone. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight." Single most significant word in all of the scriptures. Old Testament. That word, chin. Grace. New Testament. Charis. Grace. The unconditional, undeserved, unearned favor of my personal, powerful presence with you. That's grace. No conditions attached. So the gracious God, who has already said the condition that I will set forth for you to have access to me and with me, is the law. It's a system of sacrifices. But grace has always been the very character and nature of God. It is revealed here to Moses, but it is yet to be fully revealed. How? The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ. Yet in the plan to be revealed fully, God's grace in the person of His Son. But here, you found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, Moses is a slow learner, like most of us, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And there's got to be a little bit more to this. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. And I will give you rest, peace, grace, undeserved, unearned, unconditioned favor of God's presence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? It's all about his personal presence. So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the peoples upon the face of the earth. God's grace, as we know, is for all. But it is applicable only to those who respond by faith. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace, I'm telling you again, in my sight. And I know thee by name. This is a personal relationship that we're dealing with here. You don't deserve it. You couldn't earn it. But my favor is with you. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he, God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious. Chan. Gracious. To whom I will be gracious. It's my prerogative. And I will show mercy. Recham. Hebrew. Mercy on whom I will show mercy. God of grace. God of mercy. Now to chapter 34. And the Lord said to Moses, cut out two tablets of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets that thou breakest. You remember the first tablets were given to Moses while he was up on the mount. He comes down. And the people are having a great time with a golden calf. Replaced the true and living God with a creation of their own hands. And in rage, Moses breaks the commandments. The relationship that God had provided, no longer. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me, the top of the mountain. You and I are getting together. And no man shall come up with thee. It's a personal thing. It's a private matter to you, as the one I'm going to give the provision of access to me for the people. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks or herds feed before the mount. It's a private situation. This is part of my plan. And he hewed two tablets of stone like the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up onto the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone, which God had already inscribed the conditions of relationship. And the Lord descended in the cloud. Remember, the redemption of God for the nation of Israel was when he, in power, graciously, because they weren't deserving, delivered them from the enslavement of Egypt. And that they might know that it was his doing, and that he did this that they might have a relationship with him, he went before them. The daytime, a cloud. Nighttime, pillar of fire. We're going to see those two come together in a moment. A cloud. And stood within there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Propitiation is that grace. Gracious, merciful. Provision of access into his presence that is perfect ultimately. It is that which is satisfying to him ultimately. At this time, he pronounces, reveals his character and now his conduct. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, evil, rebellion, lawlessness, and transgressions, willful disobedience, and sin, missing the mark. And that will be no means clear. Guilty, the guilty visiting. I will still enact my justice with the fathers and the children upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, access into your presence. And now you being with us, grace, and you're doing that mercifully. We don't deserve it. We deserve just the opposite. Transgressed, evil, lawlessness. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us for thine inheritance. Pardon. That's why we change that in our hymn book. The provision is a merciful one. And here, for the people, for the nation, it's a pardon. Justice has not yet been fully served. At this point in time, the provision is a covering. It's a sacrifice of shed blood. It is applied in place of you being sacrificed to your sins. But it's a covering. Not yet. A justification. A satisfying of my justice. David, in Psalm 32, knew something of the provision that God had made, not only for his people, but for himself. And certainly, a man of God who failed. He not only missed the mark, sinned, he willfully transgressed. Beautiful woman. Knowing that it would be wrong to take her, she's married to another, he does just that. Knowing that if he gets caught, this wouldn't go well, so he covers it up. Uriah's killed by sending him out front and then getting the support that he needed and fighting the Philistines. Palestine. They retreat. He's left there to get killed. Blessed is he, verse 1 of Psalm 32, who transgression is forgiven. And we're going to see in just a moment, the law made no provision for that. But blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The whole Levitical system. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It's not going to be on your account, the one whom God forgives transgression, who covers up his sin. Imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, deceit. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of the summer. A conviction and a confession. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And my iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 51. Have mercy. Rakim, upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, not only your mercy, but your love, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my willful disobedience, my transgressions. This is the cry from his heart. He's confessed this to the Lord. He owns it. And he knows there is no provision for this. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is what I need. I need the provision of my transgressions to be clean, to be taken away. I need the provision of no longer being in judgment. Romans chapter 3. The desire of David's heart was to experience the fullness of God's propitiation. Under the law of Moses, the Levitical system of sacrifices covered over sin. But in the Levitical system, it was limited because there was no provision through all of those sacrifices for willful transgression. But the grace of God had cared for that all the way back in the garden. But now in the progressive plan of Almighty God in redeeming the world under the law, no provision for transgression. Those who transgressed willfully, cut off. Judgment fell. Romans chapter 3. Guess what? Propitiation is going to have two Sundays, Lord willing. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the law, all the world might become guilty before God. The law is holy. The law declares the holiness of God. The law declares the righteousness of God. The law declares the justice of God. But it cannot deliver a relationship, access into the presence of a holy, righteous, and just God. The Levitical system was a provision limited. It was a provision passing. It wasn't permanent. That every mouth might be stopped. Condemnation, the law brings. It brings conviction. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, declared right before God. I've shared this with you before. Justified is not just as if I never sinned. Justified is a declarative. This is a legal term. It's a declarative act of God whereby He says, you are no longer condemned. You're right with me. And I can make that declaration because I provided the provision of propitiation in my Son. It takes care of it. Here it is. Justified. I'm deserving of judgment, but I don't get it. Why? Grace. Mercy. That's our God. For in the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, the satisfaction of everything about God that's right. He's perfect. But now the righteousness of God without the law, apart from the law, is manifest. Here it is. Here it comes. God put on display. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were doing pretty good. God demonstrated His love toward us while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that's what they declared. Righteousness of God. But they couldn't deliver it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Unto all. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but what? For the sins of the whole world. The provision that God has provided of access into His presence, a relationship with Him, is for everyone. No one is excluded. But men exclude themselves by not believing, not trusting what God has done. Upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, declared in a right relationship, freely by His grace. For by grace are we saved, through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. No conditions attached. Grace has no condition. It's unconditional. The law, conditional. Grace, unconditional. The law, a covering. Passing. Limited. Grace. Perfect. Permanent. Satisfying. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Little word. So significant. To redeem. Comes from two different Greek words. That one English word, redemption. To purchase. Acharazo. A price was paid. Redemption. Price. A purchase was made. Luo. Apolitrosis. Here. The price was paid. And we've been purchased and set free. No longer under sin's penalty. No longer under sin's power. Free from that forever. Apo. From it. Litrosis. Set free. How? Acharazo. By the purchase that God made through the shedding of the blood of His Son. Propitiation. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a merciful, gracious, perfect, satisfying provision of access into His presence. Through faith in His blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission, the passing over here of the old, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That's everything that went before Christ. That's the old agreement. That is the old revelation that God has given that is progressing to a perfect revealing of what redemption is all about. What forgiveness not just covered, but now cleansed away. Levitical system, interesting. The Day of Atonement, there were two goats, two sacrifices to be made. The one, the hands of the priest is upon, the shedding of that blood would be offered up. The hand again, now, of the priest is on the other. Scapegoat. He's let free. Set free to go into, that's the picture of propitiation. One, condemned. The other, free. God has provided. Through the judgment on the Lamb of God. So that we can be set free. Propitiation. The propitiation through faith in His blood to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that were passed over through the Levitical system, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His, God's righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Justice must be satisfied. Pardon doesn't do it. Propitiation in Christ does. God is, as far as His holiness, as far as His righteousness, as far as His justice, satisfied with the substitute of the blood of His Son. Perfect. Satisfying. Our propitiation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as we now, in the moments we still have together, take those elements that remind us of what you, through your Son, have done graciously, mercifully, perfectly. That we not only have access, but have an eternal relationship with you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.